This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. I am Andy Atherton, your host, and tonight we have another great movie, another great guest, a first-timer, but not a first-timer that I've talked to, a guy that is a true pro, is one of the most well-liked, well-respected voices around these parts. He is a host of a multitude of shows. Over at the Kings of Sport, he has the 2020 Twin Show, the Nubian Wrestler Alliance, the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, and over here at Place to Be Nation on the Wrestling Feed, he is the co-host on the Main Event and the host of Chain Reaction, the Godfather, Nate Milton. How are you tonight, sir?
What fool jab turkey has interrupted my kung fu? I just want the record to state that Andy Atherton was the jive turkey that interrupted my kung fu. So it's just a point of parliamentary procedure, brother. But no, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm great. Better now that I get to hang out with you and watch a movie for the first time. But we'll talk about that in a second. But so, Nate, the Godfather, you have a multiple. That's my Rory, I guess, tonight. A multitude, a plethora. How about plethora is a much easier word of shows. Kind of like, let's go through them. So you got the Kings of Sport.
Yep.
Where you guys kind of just talk about what's going on, current events in the world of sports with Marcus, right? Vanderberg.
Yep. Marcus Vanderberg from Yahoo Sports.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Twin, which is a political show, I believe, right?
Yes, a political show with myself and Chris Ely, Chris from LA, who is a political science professor. We've got the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, which you mentioned, which is also on our Patreon. And, you know, we've got a bunch of stuff on the Patreon. You got video versions of the Kings of Sport podcast. We've done an MCU review before. There's, like, various, like, it's half Kings of Sport-related stuff and then just half stuff that I've done that I don't really have another platform for, so I just throw it on the Patreon. Like, there's a couple of radio episodes of a show that I've done down here in Virginia. There's, like, some old podcasts that I've done. The Always Forward podcast, which was the Luke Cage podcast. Instead of paying for hosting fees for a site for a show that I'm not probably going to resurrect, I just threw all those episodes on the Kings of Sport Patreon. So you can check that out there. And it's almost fitting that we're starting with the Patreon, Andy, because for those that don't know, at the time of this recording, it is announced that WrestleMania next year will be in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marcus and I, we've met once in person up in D.C. when Marcus was out here for a journalism convention. But my goal and our goal is for me to come out to L.A. and, you know, check out all the festivities, hang out with the post-wrestling crew, hang out with the Place to Be Nation crew, and just do a bunch of stuff in L.A. But to do that, Andy, as you well know, in a capitalist society, it takes money. And so right now, you know, we're trying to promote the Patreon as much as possible because I'm not in the habit of asking people for money, you know, that's not what I do, but I figure if people enjoy, you know, the shows that Marcus does and the shows that I do and they want to hear more of it, and particularly with something like WrestleMania, there's so much content that we can get out of that week with our various friends from around the podcast and wrestling bubble that are going to be concentrated in LA for that week. Like, there's so much stuff that we can bring to the people. So we're trying to build up our Patreon numbers as much as we can within the next year, because the more you guys and girls support the Patreon, the easier it will be for me to get out there and for us to bring you guys and girls more content, more live shows, perhaps some road diaries, if you will. There's no telling what we can do once I get out there, and I'm going either way, I'm going regardless. But if the people support what I do through the Patreon, $5 gets you in the door. Like at those prices, it's like you're stealing from me. But it's okay. It's okay. But like if we can get 100, 200, 300 people to sign up on the Patreon at that $5 level, like that will go a long way to helping us out and allowing us to bring you more content from the biggest week in pro wrestling next year. So you can find that on Patreon, patreon.com/kingsofsport. And I hope people, support the show. And I'm excited, man, because as soon as that announcement went out, Marcus hit me up on Facebook and in the messenger and was like, you got to be out here next year. And then I was just waking up. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And then I saw the announcement. I'm like, oh, yeah, we need to make this happen.
Oh, yeah, people are already talking about, oh, we got to, because it's L.A., we're going to have to, like, tailgate, really short tailgate, and then we got to party afterwards kind of thing. I'm like, dude, we haven't even gotten to Tampa, which is not looking good for me because, got responsibilities in life. Mm. But, it's a great time hanging out with the Placement Nation crew. And I know, Nate, if that Patreon gets you out there, you're not going to just go visit the Hollywood sign or go to, Disneyland. You're gonna go record some great stuff for your listeners. You're gonna be like there on the road talking about people and talking to people, and there's all kinds of other events going on too during that. There's WrestleCon. I'm sure you guys can probably score some great interviews. But yeah, definitely people should support the Patreon. Now there's one show you haven't really talked about yet. And it's honestly one of my favorite show titles of all time for any podcast. That's the Rocky Maivia Picture Show.
Mm.
So tell about that. Are you guys up to date with the Rock's catalog yet? Or are you still trying to catch up?
No, not at all. And the great thing about the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, Andy, is that it's built-in job security, so to speak, with the good people over at Post Wrestling, because the Rock is so prolific with his films that if I continue at my pace of just doing one film a month, then if he stops tomorrow making films, I'll still be reviewing movies until 2023. So like the Rock, and that's just the movies where he's one of the leads in. Like I'm not even talking about like Reno 911 or the other guys where he just had a cameo. I'm just talking about main Rock feature films. Like we can be going until 2023 with that. So I've enjoyed it. Like it started from my relationship with John Pollock and Wei Ting over at Post Wrestling. And, I've been working with those guys in one way, shape, or form for a while, back to their days at Live Audio Wrestling. And I did a couple shows, me and Brian Mann. We did Keep It 100. We did Review and Impact. And most recently, we did Keep It 2000, which was a WCW Nitro review show from arguably the worst year of any major promotion in the history of wrestling. And once that ended, John and Wei wanted to keep the relationship going, but I didn't want to jump back into reviewing a weekly show, like just from time constraints and just because, if I'm going to take on a project, I want to be able to put some quality behind it. I'm not going to put my name on something that's shabby. And so I took a couple months off and like, let me think about something. And then I'm like, oh, I could do a movie review show. Movies with wrestlers. And then I'm like, that's good, but that's broad. And then I was flipping through the channels and Fast and Furious 5 was on the TV. I'm like, that's it. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And so I immediately went to the Google machine and typed in the Rocky Maivia Picture Show because I figured somebody had to have used that title before, Andy. And lo and behold, nobody did. So I jumped on that night, wrote an email to John Pollock and was like, hey, I want to do a show once a month reviewing the Rock's movies. We're going to call it the Rocky Maivia Picture Show. I'm going to bring some guests on. It's going to be a fun time had by all. And so right now, as of the time of this recording, we are up to, ironically enough, Andy, Fast Five. So this month we're reviewing the Rock's first role in the Fast and Furious universe. And so, yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride so far.
And that's really where that franchise took off too. It just got to another level. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of like the great melding point of I have unofficial phases for the Rock's career, and to me, phase three of Dwayne Johnson's movie career coincides with Fast Five, and it's like Dwayne gives like so much life to the Fast and Furious, But in return, like the Fast and Furious movies helped take his career to another level. So I think regardless of like the Vin Diesel Rock back and forth, I think both entities have helped each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I love that. That's the one, I think he was like injured, right? And he's in a hospital and he's got a cast on his arm.
Oh, that's that is
was that six? Oh, that was six.
Because yeah, five is the one where he's hunting Vin Diesel and the crew, and then six they're kind of buddies, and he's like, yeah, he flexes up the cast off.
Yeah, woman, I am the Calvary. Just flexes it. I was like, oh man, you know the trailer dropped, you know, around Super Bowl for Fast 9 with another wrestler joining the thing, John Cena as Vin Diesel's brother. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, like I might have different fathers. Get it, but okay.
But I just like, you know, I came to this conclusion a long time ago with these movies. Laws of physics be damned. Let's just throw the suspension of disbelief out of your head and just have a great time. And that's all it is. Come on. When you're in Abu Dhabi, in whichever one that was, where they go from three buildings with a car. And then this one, there's a car that there's a rope involved. There's a magnetic plane. I don't even know, but just sign me up. Take my money, please.
The comparison I always make to these Fast and Furious films, and it's one that our good friend Jennifer Smith always balks at, but I won't hold it against her, is that the Fast and Furious films are like low-level Avengers films, because all of these people are superheroes. They just don't have powers. Like, they're damn near indestructible, and they are, like, expert hackers and expert drivers. And so, yeah, it's every time a Fast and Furious movie comes out, like, it's like the Avengers. And in the trailer for 9, like, we even get a resurrection. So it's like, yeah, like, I think these movies have been really good for him, and I know, like, there's that beef with Rock and Vin, but I think Fast and Furious 10 is probably going to be like their end game. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to be in that one, including The Rock.
Yeah, yeah. He might show up for a cameo or a post-credit scene in 9. But
yeah, I don't think there's any way that you can't, because he's meant, like you said, Andy, he's meant so much to that franchise. You can't do like, quote unquote, the end of this saga and not have Rock involved with it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yep, exactly. But we're not here to talk about Fast Furious. We're not here to talk about The Rock, although we could do that all day, but tune in to The Rock and My Via Picture Show, and you'll hear plenty of Rock talk. We're here to watch a comedy, a very funny movie. Nate, what movie are we watching tonight?
We are watching 2009's Black Dynamite.
Okay. You know, this is going to be my first time watching this. This is the second time I'm doing a blind watch. I mean, I did Bad Santa with Nick Duke. I had seen bits and pieces, but I never saw all the way through. And it was quite a fun experience. I was like, you know what? I'm game. Let me try that again. I trust Nate to carry me through this and kind of hold my hand, so to speak, as I envelop this, what looks to be a very funny movie just on the surface. Now, Nate, how come you picked this movie, by the way?
Just because when you first reached out to me about appearing on the show, I was like, oh yeah, this will be fun. And I was thinking, what would be a good film? You know, there's so many great comedies out there, but I wanted something that would probably be fresh to the listeners, and B, something that featured a black lead, just because, you know, we are recording in the middle of February. And so I wanted to stay on brand. You know, I didn't want to do, and this is no disrespect to the Wayans, but I didn't want to do like a White Chicks or something like that. Yeah. You know, I wanted something that was a little bit more advanced and a little bit more, you know, made you think a little bit more. Like this movie, Black Dynamite, is a comedy, but it's also so well crafted and so well made. And you could tell that Michael Jai White, who is the star and the, you know, kind of the driving force behind the movie, like, he's got such a love for 70s blaxploitation that it really comes across. Like, if you didn't know that this was a comedy and somebody just put this movie out in front of you without any reference, you know, to the way they filmed this and people, current modern day actors in this thing, you could easily mistake this for something that was made back in 72 or 73. Mm-hmm. So I figured, you know, it'd be something good for you and I to kind of watch and the listeners as well. Cause I think it's a really funny movie that it's like the rare black cult comedy classic, right? Like it's the rare cult film that is, you know, made by people of color, and it launched a short-lived cartoon on Adult Swim, so it's got some type of connection and traction for people. And so I thought the listeners would enjoy taking a trip back into time.
All right. So yeah, you look at the movie poster and you're like, yeah, this movie can't be from 2009. This is obviously from the 70s. But now, did you see this in the theater, Nate?
No, and I don't think too many people did, just because it had a limited run. Mm-hmm. The way I found out about it was through a radio show that used to play down here in Virginia called The Mike and Bob Show. And it was hosted by Mike Powers, who still does radio down here in this market, and Bobby Fresh, who has been on the Kings of Sport a couple times and had his own podcast for a while and is now a comic book writer. Out in the Cincinnati area. And they were just like talking about this random movie one day called Black Dynamite. And I called up and we had a good conversation about it. And so then I was like, yeah, I got to see this movie. And I finally got my hands on a DVD copy of it. The copy that I still have to this day that I'll be pressing play on here momentarily. And I just fell in love with it. It's just a smart film. It's funny. There's some stupid jokes in here, but even the stupid jokes are clever. And I think one of my favorite things about the film, Andy, is that it would be very easy if this were just Michael Jai White playing Black Dynamite. And that's like kind of funny in and of itself, of Michael Jai White playing this 70s star. But if like the actual, I think maybe even on the poster, it was like Michael Jai White is Indianapolis Colts all pro Ferrante Jones as Black Dynamite. So it's like Michael Jai White is playing a 70s football player playing this 70s black exploitation star. So there's like another level of just kind of comedy put onto that when you kind of look back at guys like Jim Brown or Fred the Hammer Williamson that were like intimidating figures on screen, but really weren't the best actors because they were football players. And I think Michael Jai White like just leans into that, and it just works really well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited about this because I'm looking at the cast list right now, and you got Michael Jai White, you got Arsenio Hall, Tommy Davidson, yep. Nicole Ari Parker, Miguel A. Nunez Jr., John Sally is in this crowd, Mike yes. Starr, Nicole Sullivan are a couple of great Mike McKelty Williamson, better known as Bubba, if you yep. don't know him from Forrest Gump. Bokeem Woodbine, another great character actor. Trying to look what else there is in this. It's going to be...
Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911
is
in this.
Cedric Yarbrough, yeah.
As Chocolate Giddyup.
I think the character names are just incredible on this, by the way.
Yeah, like the audience will see, the listeners will see when we get to the pimp scene. Like, there's just this one random white pimp named Captain Kangaroo Pimp, and he's called Captain Kangaroo Pimp because he looks just like Captain Kangaroo Captain Kangaroo was a pimp.
He got like, you know, characters' names like Cream Corn,
yes,
Sweet Meat, Mo Bitches. Chicago
yeah,
Wind.
It knows exactly what it is, and like I think like just when you look at it, the way it's shot, the music, everything, it just works really well. So I'm glad that you're getting to see this for the first time, and I hope that, you know, us kind of going through the film will entice the listeners that haven't seen it yet to pause this podcast right now. Go online, buy Black Dynamite, wait 2 to 4 weeks, depending on how Amazon works in your area, get the DVD, and then press play. So, I mean, it might take you a while to listen to this episode, but it'll be worth it.
Yes, I am actually watching it through Amazon, but I'm watching it on Amazon Prime. And I'm queued up at 0.00 on my counter. It says Apparition. Is that where you
yes,
are on your DVD?
That is where I am.
All right.
That is where I am.
So Nate and I are going to get started. So if you're watching along, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Apparition, Oilers on black screen. Always takes a second to like make sure I got my closed captioning all coming up, you know, or subtitles, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so this is according to IMDb, the plot summary is very simple. Black Dynamite is the greatest African-American action star of the 70s. when his only brother is killed by the man, it's up to him to find justice. Anaconda malt liquor.
Yes, this part right here just kind of sets the mood. We got Leon St. James for Anaconda malt liquor. Kind of playing off of Billy Dee with the old Colt 45 ad.
Yes, exactly. He's got a black and blue velvet thing going on there. The only malt liquor to be approved by the government. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I love like the this. Oh, this, that little jingle is great. Anaconda malt liquor gives you ooh. But like that's just a little throwaway tag that they put on the top of this movie, but it actually comes back to play into the story. So like the first time I saw the movie, I was just like, that was random. But now having seen it, you know, 5, 6, 7 times, it's like, oh yeah, that's a wonderful way to kind of get you into the mood of this film.
Mm-hmm. That kind of opens up a little bit like how, crap, what was that movie? Tropic Thunder opens up a little bit like
yes.
That. Mm-hmm. Like those fake commercials. There we go. We got, looks like a meeting of the minds here. We got the.
Yep.
Oh my God, I know that guy over on the left, he's in a lot of things. He plays heavies or.
Yeah, I believe he was in Jeffersons.
Yes.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because this scene right here, like I've listened to the DVD commentary a bunch of times, and it's Michael Jai White, Byron Menz, who plays Bullhorn, who's one of the writers, and Scott Sanders, who I think is the director. Mm-hmm. And this character right here, the Jimmy, like the way he's talking is just great because it's like a nod to the old blaxploitation actors who were really Shakespearean trained actors. Mm-hmm. But they had to play like pimps and thugs and drug dealers because those were the only roles that, you know, were paying black actors back then. So you got him coming out, what's going on, brother man? Like just trying to speak jive, but with this gravitas. So I like yeah. like the little attention to detail in this movie. Mm-hmm. And this guy right here, that's who you're talking about. This yep. is the guy mm-hmm. who was in the Jeffersons and, like you said, played a lot of heavies back in the day. Mm-hmm.
Like the how they do the film to look like the 70s also.
Yeah, I think it was shot on 16 millimeter, but they reversed the film stock. So it like mutes kind of all the colors mm-hmm. and gives it that old school look. And like some of the scenes they showed right here are scenes from old blaxploitation films that they just kind of cut in.
That's great.
Like I said, like if you didn't know and... Speaking of great, here
we go. That's a little
Hey-o.
Something. I was not expecting like, that.
like if you didn't know that this movie was shot in 2009, you're like, yeah, this has got to be from like the 70s.
God bless America right there.
Yes, you know, we got to secure that R rating.
Yes.
And then Black Dynamite, obviously he is he is not prejudiced at all. There's like a rainbow coalition in his bed.
Basically, yes. That thought's going through my head. It's like Neapolitan ice cream, something like that, if you will.
And that's Byron Menace, the guy that's singing the song right now. Mm-hmm. He plays Bullhorn, who's kind of like an ode to Rudy Ray Moore. Mm-hmm. So for anybody that's seen the Dolomite movie on Netflix, that's who the Byron Menace character. He's kind of playing a riff on Rudy Ray Moore.
That was on my list to see Dolomite, but once it got snubbed with noms, I was like, you know, because I do an Oscar preview pod also here every year, and I had to, like, concentrate on seeing the ones that were actually nominated. So
I mean, really, you only need to watch Parasite. Cause that's...
I did see Parasite, and it was actually really good. I don't necessarily agree that it was Best Picture, but, you know I thought they were going to give it to Quentin for
yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I bet you he's a big fan of this movie, by the way.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, this movie does have like some Tarantino elements, but it makes sense because a lot of Tarantino was influenced by those gangster movies of the 70s.
Yeah. No Nipsey here. He just kicks the old lady down. Damn. Where's Nipsey?
And the thing I like about this is, like, Michael Jai White, like, yes, this is a funny movie, but he does actually get to show off some of his martial arts skill.
Well, yeah, like we talked about pre-recording, he did play Spawn.
Yep.
Which required a lot of you know, stunt work and, you know.
And he had a brief cameo, I guess, in The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah?
He was, it's the scene with Joker and the gangsters and Heath Ledger's talking about how he got his smile.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Jai White plays like one of the gangsters, but it's like, yeah, like this guy is so good as a physical actor. I wish that he got to do more in Hollywood because he's really good.
Now she looks familiar too.
Yes, that's Kim Whitley playing
Honey Bee. Oh my God, Kim Whitley, she is funny. We had a very, not a very good show on one of my channels called Cocktails with Khloe, hosted by Khloe Kardashian. And she was funny on that. She was just being herself. And she seems like a generally nice person, too.
Yeah, Kim Whitley, she's been around for a while, too. Like, she's done, like, movies and a bunch of sitcoms. Like, she is, she's like, just a veteran actress. And I think that's one of the things I like about this film is that they cast a lot of veteran actors and actresses in this. And it gives, like, the film authenticity.
Nunchucks. It's not a 70s movie without nunchucks.
And, like, here's the other thing. Like, you'll see from time to time in this film, Andy, like, there are production errors that are done on purpose.
Ah, okay.
Like, you'll see, like, a boom mic in the scene, or you'll see, like, the actors look the wrong way, and that's done on purpose because a lot of those blaxploitation movies in the 70s were made on such a cheap budget and they had to be made so quickly that there were times when a boom mic would just be in the scene and they would just let it go.
They look like they're just hammered up in this scene right here. What are we gonna do, Black Dynamite? Yep, there's the boom mic.
There's the boom mic.
And he keeps a straight face, too. He's almost hitting his head, too.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, Michael Jai White really sells this film because you see him give, like, little side glances when things go wrong, but he's trying to stay in character as Ferrante Jones, the football player. Which I think, like, it's just a... Like, the fact that he created a whole backstory for this fictional Indianapolis Colts running back that now becomes an actor. Like, I appreciate the detail that
well, wouldn't it be this movie. Isn't he a Baltimore Colt?
Yes, you're right. Yeah, he's a Baltimore running back.
I was going to say, they really don't Ferrante care about Jones. If they called him the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like
that would be really funny, actually.
Like, if you actually look at the trailer for the film, it's like 1969 NFL All-Pro for the Baltimore Colts. Ferrante Jones is Black Dynamite. And there's the Bruce Lee homage.
Yes. It's just right there. Yeah.
There we go. Who's interrupting my kung fu?
And Billy. It's always interrupting you.
Like, this is... I think, like, what makes this movie just resonate is the comedy is... Like, there's intentional comedy and there's unintentional comedy, and this movie knows how to play both of them so well. Where, like, they make the intentional feel unintentional. And so it's like little things like the way he looks to the side or, and acting choices that this quote unquote football player is making that just kind of make the whole thing come together.
Yeah. Seems like they shot the scene like how they used to shoot Suzanne Summers' last few episodes on Three's Company. Just sitting in a room. Try to act.
Yeah, just like little things like that. Like, just keeping that in. Just like.
The fact that he couldn't hang up on it now, that was funny.
Just 18-year-old Black Dynamite. Like, I love that everybody just calls him Black Dynamite, even his mother.
Basically, spelling out the plot. Make sure he doesn't know about drugs or dead. I promise. Nope.
And oh, I thought we were going to the graveyard scene, but once we get to the graveyard scene, you'll hear like the blaxploitation music where the singer explains exactly what's happening in the scene. And the singer is LeVan Davis, who was he played the dad on that Tyler Perry show, House of Pain.
Oh, okay. I turn up the volume a little bit so I can hear that. Everybody's just making him feel. This aunt is just making him feel bad. Basically, the same thing she just said on the phone. So the police didn't do a very good job that this guy was able to scour the crime scene, huh?
Yes.
Find a shell casing from a bullet. Oh, man. You don't see those cars around anymore.
You really got to give credit to, the production design team, because mm-hmm. this stuff looks straight out of the 70s.
Oh, yeah. A bear with holsters.
And the costuming in this, costume designer, to kind of tie it to current movies, is Ruth Carter, who won an Oscar for a costume design for Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
So Ruth Carter's been around. I think she did Coming to America. Like, she's done a bunch of stuff for Spielberg and people like that. So Ruth Carter's been around for a minute.
That's a nice trap for him.
It's the whole birthday candle trick.
They always remind you why, you know, we're friends, that you wouldn't even think that we'd be friends. I gotta tell you, because somebody saved somebody's butt back in the day or somewhere.
Yeah. It's like we have to give you this this exposition.
Said, of course he said they were Nam, and now he's calling them Chinamen.
You know, who has time to do research? It was the 70s.
We only had 13 days to get this movie done.
Exactly.
We had no budget for research. That's funny.
This kid is amazing. Like, I don't know who this child actor is, but he's just the far away 1,000-yard stare.
That sounds like some cartoon shit. I don't know.
It's just like the fact that he could say a line that ridiculous but still try to be serious. Like, Michael Jai White's doing a great job in this film. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what Adam West used to say about playing Batman.
Mm.
He said you got to deliver every line like you're doing Shakespeare, even though it's the most ridiculous line. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. We need you, Black Dynamite. No, so he played for the Baltimore Colts. He was a CIA agent.
Yeah. This is plays like the CIA liaison. He's good too. Yeah. Like, he feels like he fit back then. Mm-hmm. Like, you needed a special kind of generic white guy to play. Like, you have to be stern, but can't be too expressive.
No. You got to have that look. Like, I can only be cast as cops, gym coaches, football coaches, you know, kind of thing. Like, you need that, like, Rob Riggle David Koechner kind of guy right there.
And now we're at the nightclub where we're about to meet Bullhorn. And the music for this was done by Adrian Young, who, for anybody that watched Marvel's Luke Cage, Adrian Young did all the music for that show, which gave, like, Luke Cage that 70s feel.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal season one. I still have to get back to that.
Yeah, season two, like, the way I always explain it to people is if you split season one into two halves, like the Cottonmouth half and the Diamondback half, I think season, like the first half of season one with Cottonmouth was the best the show ever got. But then season two, like, is really solid. It doesn't quite get to the heights of the Cottonmouth stuff, but it's much better than the Diamondback stuff. Okay. So, like, season two of Luke Cage is really strong. Like, you got Bushmaster, this, like, Jamaican villain that matches Luke Cage. And then, like, yeah, it's a really good season. It's unfortunate, though, like, that I feel like Marvel and Netflix never really got on the same page after that first season that each of the shows had.
Yeah, I got stuck at the...
And now Kevin Feige runs it all.
Yeah, I got stuck at the Defenders.
Yeah, Defenders, like, the Defenders was good. It just, it could have been better. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that was the show. Like, the 1-2 punch of Defenders and Iron Fist turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
And they were never able to recover.
It was just so tedious for me. That's what it was.
But like that last season of Daredevil is so good. And it's like, I think a lot of people didn't watch it because they were kind of burnt out on Marvel Netflix by then.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll get back to that someday.
So I'm hoping, like, I have high hopes for the Disney Plus Marvel shows.
Yes. Yes. Very excited from what we got coming. And also excited, you know, he was so great as Cottonmouth, Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
That he's coming back as Blade now.
Yep. So my one wish for that film is that we get some Wesley Snipes cameo, because I think, like, he doesn't have to be a big part of it, but like, people forget how important Blade was for Marvel at that time. Mm-hmm. Back when people didn't take superhero movies seriously, like, Blade was this underground hit that kind of, like, that and Spider-Man helped put superhero movies back on the map.
So now we're talking about cream corn.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Davidson.
Oh.
I'm running things. Like, Tommy Davidson is such an underrated comic, man.
Yes. You don't see him much these days. That's unfortunate.
No, like, he's still around. Like, he wrote a book, I want to say, that came out last year that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, just the physical comedy of this dude.
Yeah.
he's running out of the beauty salon, and he's got, like, the smock covering his face. But yeah, like, his book is really interesting, Andy, because he grew up, I guess, in the foster system, and his the family that ended up adopting him, a white family in Wyoming.
Wow.
And so, like, his brother and sister were white, and then his older brother, like, in this adopted family was gay. And so, like, early on, like, he got it from all ends of the spectrum. Like, people that didn't like black people that didn't like white people that were homophobic. Like, he experienced all that before he was, like, 10 years old.
Wow. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Tommy Davidson was good. Like, Living Color was great. Like, he did HBO specials, Illin in Philly. That's really funny. I think it still holds up today, which is rare, given, like, a lot of comedy from the 80s doesn't quite hold up.
No.
For one reason or the other.
Like I was saying, like, my daughter and I were just flipping channels. We caught Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. Mm. And he's in that as, I guess, the tough native of the one tribe. Like, the Chicago. Chicago.
And here we see Michael T. Williamson, like you said, Bubba Gump.
Yep.
As Chicago Wind, which is that's Steve Willie's name that he gives out when he goes to the hotels. It's Chicago Wind.
You know, it's funny too. Is like going back rewatching Wildcats. You know, I didn't realize that Michael T. Williamson was Bird.
Yeah. Yep.
Which was another great great part.
Yeah, Wildcats was a good movie.
another underrated movie with Wesley Snipes and all this too.
Yep, Wesley Snipes and wasn't Woody Harrelson in that too?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson's in it.
The beginning of their friendship. Mm-hmm. That was my second choice, by the way. If I hadn't gone with Black Dynamite, not Wildcats, but White Men Can't Jump. Because mm-hmm. that's another movie I really love.
Mm-hmm. We going sizzler.
Yep.
We going sizzler.
I'll take foods that start with Q for $100, please.
What is a quince?
Shout out to Rosie Perez, who's now in a superhero movie, which is crazy.
Yes, which I actually just saw.
The Birds of Prey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was excellent.
I'd say despite the some of the conflicting reviews and the fact that it didn't make a whole bunch of money the opening weekend, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my girlfriend wasn't like too high on it, but then she like actually enjoyed it, so. Kicking the light.
And he's doing like the little kiosk, like as a homage to Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
From Enter the Dragon fame.
Where he just does the move and then very slowly
yep.
holds it.
And here we're going to see a funny little gag with Bullhorn here in a second. But first we got some nunchuck work going.
I try to do that. I hit myself in the head.
I love how he throws the nunchucks and then it comes back to him like a boomerang. Michael Jai White, definitely a much better martial artist than a lot of those blaxploitation actors. And here we go. We're going to see... I love the way he just steps over his own man. Here we go. This gag right here where Bullhorn slaps this guy, and then there's like, if you're not watching for it, you don't see it, but like the guy he kicks is a dark-skinned gentleman, and they're going to do a cut, and it's a light-skinned guy because the implication is he hit the first guy for real, so they had to reshoot it because an altercation took place on set. There we see it. Just like, just so random, but it gets me every time.
He got paid. Bullhorn. They probably had to walk that guy away, calm him down.
God. It's nothing like a 70s car chase.
Yes. with the cuts.
Like we're gonna use stock footage and stuntmen for the long shots.
How windy this car road is, he's not even looking.
In the end, it was Chicago Wind's hubris that was his undoing. I love how the car just burst into flames and it didn't even hit anything. Like, before it hit the ground, it was on fire.
There's Mike Starr.
Yep, there's Raffaele, the Italian mobster.
Ah.
Mike Starr. This lady right here is somebody that's been around for a while. Sally Richardson Whitfield. She might just be Sally Richardson now, but she's been around for a minute.
Mm-hmm. I know him too, the other guy.
Yeah. Yep. He's been in a lot of stuff. Like, there's so many great kind of character actors
spread
throughout
this
movie. Playing the corrupt politician.
You gotta have yourself a plan.
I mean, like this, you can already tell this guy is shady, but to be fair, he probably would have gotten at least 10% of the electorate in Iowa. I can see him polling higher than Andrew Yang.
There you go.
No disrespect to the Yang gang.
The Yang gang. That's funny.
Here we get our romantic relationship for the film. Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, so she was an I Am Legend, which I didn't like actually the movie. Anacondas.
Mm-hmm.
She's a television actress also.
Yeah, she's done a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm. All right, so she's there. She looks a little familiar.
And she's still, like, one of the special features on the DVD is the panel that they did at Comic-Con that year, mm-hmm. Which is a cool little extra. And, like, yeah, she still looks amazing. And here's Chris Spencer, who's a comedian that just walked by as part of the militant crew. Like, that's one of my favorite gags. We haven't gotten to it yet, but the shorter militant, the guy that was behind Chris Spencer, mm-hmm. there you see in the kente cloth,
yeah.
his actor reads his dialogue, like the dialogue cues. So he'll be like, the militant turns around, start.
Oh, he reads his sides. Oh, great.
And then you see, like, Black Dynamite's eyes is like, Why did he read his directions?
What are you talking about?
Like, that's just a fun little character trait. Like, this guy just reads his cues as part of his dialogue.
Sarcastically, I'm in charge. I'm watching the subtitles go by. I'm like, they must have written the script and then said, nope, let's take out. Right, we need to replace these with all these signature, course, 70s words.
Of course, we know this gentleman right here. Mm-hmm. All the Seinfeld fans in attendance.
Yes, Jackie Childs. They're real and they're spectacular.
Yeah, that is Phil Morris, Jackie Childs, and also he played John Jones on Smallville.
Oh, that's right.
The Martian Manhunter.
Mm-hmm. No, he was on he was on Supergirl, I thought.
Let me see.
Because I know you're a big fan of the Arrowverse.
Oh, yeah. I love the Arrowverse.
I'm actually behind on that. I've actually never watched any of those shows. I did watch Supergirl, its first like season or two, when I was on CBS. So I do remember that part.
I like just the guys practicing martial arts in the background.
Oh, the Ish Ni San Chi, which everybody learns, like, you know, their first lesson. It's got a whole page with all these different bullets on.
I didn't know he was in Doom Patrol as well, apparently.
Yeah. So I'm looking at his thing here too. He was in Scooby Doo in the WWE. Got that wrestling connection.
But yeah, like, I think, you know, real quick on the Arrowverse, like, after the Arrow finale, I feel like all the shows have just gotten better because all the possibilities are just out there now, after the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover. Like, it's really good now, and I couldn't say that in all honesty in years past with some shows.
Yeah, I can't keep up with anything these days.
There's so much. Like, Greg Berlanti has a show on pretty much every night of the week, counting like CW, the DC Universe app, and he's got Green Lantern that's coming out on the HBO Max. So like he's getting checks from a lot of different places.
There you go. I'm sure. Hopefully, there's a website out there that tells you the order to watch the Arrowverse in. It says, you gotta watch this. It's like, you know, how you gotta watch Buffy and Angel. Once, you know, Angel starts, Buffy season 4 is on, you gotta watch certain orders because there's crossovers. License to Kill.
It's an actual license.
I know, it actually says License to Kill on it. Fuck, Dynamite's looking for us. He said you would handle it. Mike Starr, better known as Frenchie from Goodfellas. And he was also I forget the character's name from Dumb and Dumber. But he's the guys! And they kill him with hot peppers.
Like, the music on this is just ridiculous. Like, I think I was looking at the extras, and the guy actually recorded it like it was the 70s. Like, instead of using digital equipment, he just recorded like everything. Used everything, recorded everything live on the reel-to-reel.
Wow.
The car's down there, but we're shooting in the air, okay?
That's another character actor, that one guy, too. I know him from... I think he was, like, the guy who takes the car in Ferris Bueller.
And, again, we got to make sure we keep that R rating.
He's playing Doctor. Let me see if I can fire a thermometer for you. I told you urine sample.
This doctor like Dynamite.
And he's shaking his finger at Dynamite.
Like, really, Black Dynamite?
It's like, what'd you expect?
Like, even like a small role like this, like, I think like the guy they picked for this is perfect.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Black Dynamite's getting chastised. See you next time.
Now we have to add some drama to the proceedings. Like, the more I watch this film, and it's like, yeah, like, I love this film, but it's like, yeah, why doesn't Michael Jai White get more roles like this? You know, why doesn't he get to play, you know, he doesn't have to be the lead of an action film, but, like, he should be in more stuff, and yeah. He's not. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be the sidekick in a Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, he could. You know, Danny Glover really is too old for this shit, and then he could take over for another part.
Yeah, like Danny Glover getting too old, like Denzel, even though he's trying to hang on with the Equalizer, Denzel's too old to be that anymore.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes is a little too old.
And a little too crazy.
He was good in Dolomite, though. Like that, I was pleasantly surprised by Dolomite on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I added it to my list. There you go.
There we go. Another callback to Anaconda.
Oh, yeah, talking about crack. Crack was crack around in the 70s?
You're probably talking late 70s at best.
How about Wesley Snipes and Crack? I mean, New Jack City. Now, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's something we could watch on Laugh in Theater, but still a great movie. That's kind of pushing it. Not The Orphans.
And the viral marketing with this movie back in 2009 was great too, because they actually created like an online site for an organization called Fighting Smack in the Orphanage. Like, how can we get these kids off of drugs? And there was like PSAs from characters in the movie, but they were like playing the character talking about, let's keep kids off these drugs.
You got a kid trying to find a vein. God. If I smack, I need it now. If I thought I was like, what? Like the kid's like eyes, but
I can't take this.
It's just called Orphanage.
Yes. And then in the cartoon, it's funny because two of the kind of set pieces or sets are, we've got the orphanage and we've got the like the brothel that we saw earlier with Kim Whitley. And in the cartoon, they combine it. So instead of an orphanage and a brothel, they've got a combination, and it's called the Horphanage, which is brilliant. It's like a place for
Roscoe's Chili and Donuts.
Kids that don't have parents. Yep. Ugh.
Chili and Donuts, that's that.
Obviously, I would say obviously an allusion to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there we...
Like that, I was a little suspicious there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, he shot the donut right in his jelly. He rolls down to the ground.
Yep.
Where was he hiding that gun?
Donuts don't wear loafers.
And that right there, like the car.
Yep, that actually happened. Like, that wasn't in the script. It was a mistake, and they're just like, keep it, and it works for what we're trying to do.
It goes with the movie, actually. Almost looks like the Domino Shop in Boogie Nights.
Mm.
Where Don Chill's just like trying to get donuts and all of a sudden this robbery happens. Everybody gets killed and he's covered in blood and there's all that money. He's like, oh, I got my stereo store.
Nobody wants chili and donuts anyway.
Are they saying like this was Roscoe's first idea?
Because it'll play into it. Like, there's another great scene later on at Roscoe's, which might be one of my favorite scenes in the movie. But yeah, we get the origin story of Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
It's Kim Whitley. She looks down. He says, you can bet your sweet ass and have a titty. She looks down at her chest.
Just the way he goes crazy, his eyes. Just, nobody talking to you, Euphoria.
I just stare it off. Crenshaw Pete.
Oh. Again, like, you don't usually get to see Michael Jai White do comedy. Yeah. You know, just because he's such an action star, and then getting to see him do like crazy stuff like that Crenshaw Pete bit right there, it just works. Yes, the Pimp Council. Ladies and gentlemen, Arsenio Hall.
I love Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall, one of the more influential figures of the 90s. Like, his talk show was revolutionary.
It was.
And we see Miguel Nunez and Cedric Yarbrough. Bokeem Woodbine.
Mm-hmm. Who is Bokeem Woodbine? He's the Shocker, I believe.
Yes, the second Shocker in Spider-Man. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Spending more on bail money than on jail money. Too.
That guy's like on the Goldbergs and stuff.
Yep.
Miguel A. Nunez, who played Arsenio Hall's brother in... All right, didn't they play his brother in Harlem Nights?
I think so. And he also, he was also like Juana Man. He was also in Life. I don't know if you ever saw Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. So he's done a lot. And then this man right here, like, just oozes like 70s pimp aesthetic. The leader of the Pimp Council.
You gotta keep pimping until his little planet rotates off his axis.
What we need to do is collectivize.
Collectivize. I'm glad the subtitle got it right.
Yeah, this is Oba Babatunde. As Osiris, the leader of the Pimp Council.
All right, stop the bullshit. Take a vote.
Chocolate giddy up. Captain Kangaroo Pimp.
You sure that's not Bob Keeshan? Yo,
it just ran like, again, just the random idea to put this guy that looks like Captain Kangaroo in the middle of the Pimp Council and call him Captain Kangaroo Pimp. Just ridiculous. I sell drugs to the community.
You can't declare war on me.
Bokeem Woodbine as Backhand Jack.
Backhand Jack. He's also only one of the few good things about that Total Recall remake.
Mm.
That was not good.
Most remakes aren't. Like, no. It's very hard to kind of improve on something that's already great. And of course, Cream Corn kind of based on the Huggy Bear character from Starsky and Hutch. Mm-hmm. Antonio Fargas.
Played by Snoop Dogg in the movie.
Yes. That wasn't a bad movie.
No. Because you know what? It was self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
And we've got our team up scene, and this is just a great montage. Black Dynamite and the crew cleaning up the streets. again, the song telling you exactly what's going on in, on the screen. Yeah, he shot a plane out of the air with the revolver. The man's got lots of riches, but we got kung fu bitches. Is a classic line.
Kung fu bitches. Oh, that's still going in the write up.
And he. That's a gimmick, the Fast and the Furious 9. They had that in the trailer, with pulling the car up by the magnet. And that, of course, is the same footage from when Chicago Wind's car fell off the road.
They tried to do that in Cowboy Run, too.
Yep.
The plane couldn't lift off the car, though.
And he's still laughing from when he, dropped the car off the cliff.
That's kind of uneventful the way they kill off Mike Starr, though.
Yeah.
Kind of like, all right, well, this guy is a bad dude, but we're just going to kill him off in a montage.
Yeah, I think that was because of time, because like there's deleted scenes, like the scene with the quote unquote kung fu bitches, mm-hmm. like that was in there, like that was an actual scene, but they had to cut it for time, mm-hmm. where he like tries to shake down the congressman.
Now let's just show every 70s little thing kids play with outside, pogo stick, banana seat bicycle,
mm-hmm.
double dutch.
This is a fun little gag here. What's up, little girl? There's lots of people named Black Dynamite.
She's like looking at them like closely, like, do they look like him?
Here we get like the courtship montage.
Playing tag or something? You think Black Diamond was like, you know, almost like the Dudley's father? You know, how he had all those different kids? He just sits back with a glass of wine.
Yep. And we're about to go into our little romance scene here. But the funny thing is, Sally Richardson Whitfield is very religious. So she didn't want to do any nudity in this film. So we'll see in a second how they get around the nudity aspect for this love-making scene that's about to go down, Andy.
You can hit the sheets or hit the streets. That's a good line, too.
Yeah. It probably worked a lot better in the 1970 than 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that would go over well these days.
And this is as far as Sally is willing to go. That's the extent of the Sally Richardson skin we'll see in this picture.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, I think this is a creative way of getting around, like, your lead actress not wanting to do nudity.
Yeah, this is, like you were saying all night, this is the, gotta keep that R rating. There's X-rated cartoons right now.
Yep, we got like the X-rated Zodiac sign / Kama Sutra going on.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Like, the movie this gets compared to a lot, you know, we talked about the Wayans earlier, is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yes.
And I like that. Like, I like I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker a lot, but to me, I think I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker is more like of a parody of mm-hmm. blaxploitation, whereas Black Dynamite's more like a satire. Like, it's more true to the nature of, like, what was going on back then than I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Mm-hmm. Both are great, though. I just think they're doing two different things.
It's been a long time since I've seen I Gotta Get You, Sucker. That was about the same time, like, CB4 came out, too, around that time.
Yeah, that was like, because Chris Rock was just starting to become big in movies. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, New Jack City, CB4, which is, CB4 is underrated.
Mm-hmm. Shut up and eat your big-ass biscuit.
Of course, CB4 has the great Alan Payne, I'm Black, y'all seen.
Yes. What is he got to say in the Easter Rebels here? What the hell's going on?
Well, this is just a ragtag group of militants that...
I don't have a blowtorch.
Yeah, we've got a welder. We've got guys that can do kung fu, expert marksmen.
Tommy Davidson. It's got this one guy here.
This guy looks familiar. Like, I don't know what he's from, but he looks familiar.
Hmm.
Like, maybe an old character actor from some 70s sitcom or something.
Could be. Is his name actually Snowflake? Or they just call him that? I'm trying to look.
They give him the truth serum. The funny line in the commentary is like, because for those watching, like, this actor just said the N-word. Yeah. And the funny line in the commentary is that they wanted to find an actor who could say that line well, but not too well. Like, we want it to feel natural, but not be natural.
He's just walking through the machine. That's funny.
And here we go. The MacGuffin of the movie that they told you up front. The Anaconda malt liquor. I went through a malt liquor phase just because it is cheap beer, and sometimes cheap beer is good.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, growing up in the New York metro area, drinking 40s is what we used to do.
Got to keep it in the paper bag.
That's right, or else you get in trouble. I remember getting pulled over one time when they saw a paper bag in my back seat. They're like, "What's that?" It's a paper bag. There's nothing in it.
Now this scene right here is just some brilliant comedy writing, like the over explained mystery scene in any like 70s action movie. Mm-hmm. Where we uncover the plot. Tommy Davidson's hair looking like Russell Wilson's Twitter the other day. Like, I don't know what Russell Wilson has going on, but you know what? He's got a Super Bowl ring, a $1 billion in the bank, and a hot wife. So, who am I to judge that man's hair? Now, this order right here is like completely improvised by Tommy Davidson. Smush fry.
So he orders like every kind of meat and a waffle.
and a one waffle. There we go. Chicken and waffles. That's it.
That's how I was born. Thanks to cream corn.
Yeah, so shout out to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which I'm sure will make a ton of money next year during WrestleMania week.
Yeah, I've never had Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Like, I've had it before. It's good, but it's kind of like, it's good, but not to the level of hype it gets. And I don't want to offend anybody that likes Roscoe's, but it's kind of that thing where, yes, it's good, but it's kind of become more of a brand than actually, you know, the actual food. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure, like, it'll be a big tourist trap that week.
Oh, yeah.
You might even see Triple H at Roscoe's. This overlong explanation is just hilarious.
It's the Greek God of War, though.
I dig this.
Thank God they all pay attention in class that day.
Yes.
Now, who knows what the area code of Topeka, Kansas is? Really? This is... It just doesn't stop.
Just the links that the scene goes, it's ridiculous.
Greek gods. Loving snakes. Just tell them what it is. If you know the answer, why are you asking questions? Yeah, thanks, Lee.
And what brothers is the largest snake on earth?
This lady's just interrupting over there.
Little Richard.
Little Rich.
Like, the way we got there, like, that's just a well-written scene. Gives you a little dick.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I get that R rating.
Yep. And that's actually a pacifier. That they spray painted to look like his skin color and put in his pants. Like, they took a pacifier and formed around it and, yes, made it look like his Little Richard. But, yes, so the Anaconda malt liquor ad that we saw at the beginning of the movie is integral to the plot of the man trying to emasculate the black community by shrinking black men's Richards.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I love that diner scene because it's just, like, so ridiculous that, like you said, Andy, it just goes on and on, and we're talking about Greek gods and candy companies.
And... Oh, God, O'Leary was on the take.
What a plot twist.
There's always a double agent.
Did M. Night Shyamalan write this?
Ugh. I was just following orders. Is he Red Fox?
Oh, the old happy birthday trick. Dr. Wu.
Who the hell is Dr. Wu?
I like how he says it all makes sense now, and it makes no sense.
I'm like, what the hell? I swear it goes to Abraham Lincoln.
Coming to emancipate and proclamate. it's a great promo.
Yeah.
We got to go to Kung Fu Island. I'm telling you, if Shelton Benjamin could cut a promo like that, he would have been world champion. That was the only thing holding Shelton back was that money promo. He should have had Black Dynamite as his advocate.
He should have.
I just think where we've gone in this movie so far, Andy. All of this happened because the mob killed Black Dynamite's brother.
Yes.
And now we're on Kung Fu Island.
which looks a little bit like Los Angeles.
Yes, surprisingly.
You see like the palm trees in the background.
Hey, is that the Beverly Center?
This guy's just looking all like mad.
We got Dr. Wu, played by Roger Yuan, or Yuan. He was in Shanghai Noon and Bulletproof Monk, among others.
Ah, there you go.
It's always the telltale sign
that somebody's going to get killed.
Yep.
I'm going to retire. I'm going to get out. I'm going to marry my girl.
This picture of my girl, I hope.
Who saw that coming? They're all like, yep.
And that, the crazy thing is, like, ooh. And I didn't even know this until I listened to the commentary track. When they're like, who did that? And everybody's pointing. That was like an homage to the night Dr. Martin Luther King was killed.
Oh.
And everybody was like pointing in the direction of where they thought the shot came from. So it's like, that was oddly reverential and depressing in the middle of this crazy film.
Wow.
Fiendish Dr. Wu.
You know he's fiendish because he's got a Fu Manchu.
Yes. Has there ever been a good guy with the Fu Manchu?
No. It's like on Star Trek when they want to make Spock the evil Spock, or they do have a goatee on him.
Were you a fan of Kung Fu movies growing up?
I mean, I would watch them if they were on, but not, you know, huge. Oh, shit. Kung Fu treachery.
A friendship bonded by fighting against the man has been ended by Kung Fu treachery.
Yeah. He's like, get him.
But yeah, like I was a casual, I guess you could say, fan of Kung Fu films, like especially like the Bruce Lee stuff, like Enter the Dragon, like Game of Death. Like I watched those. But I wasn't somebody that was just super into it. But like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, like I enjoyed a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I got, you know, I'm glad Jackie Chan finally crossed over, like the Drunken Master. Yeah. Knows. But I remember I watched Black. Was it The Last Dragon? What?
Last Dragon was a great movie. Yeah. Last Dragon featuring Tymok.
Yes, as Bruce Leroy.
Timok is Bruce Leroy, and then we had I'm blanking on the actor's name, but Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem. Yeah, Last Dragon was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shogun played Earl on That's My Mama, which was a little known sitcom from the 70s.
Which didn't make the tournament. We apologize for that.
Yes. I mean, as of this recording, like, you'll know by the time this episode comes out, but as of this recording, I need all my I Love Lucy fans out there to rally, because right now I think it's losing the MASH by a slight edge.
Yes. Well, actually, the tournament, I think, will be over by the time this comes up. So,
if Russia has anything to do with it.
or King of the Hill fans.
All those King of the Hill votes came from the Ukraine. That's odd.
I didn't realize Hank Hill spoke Russian.
Theodore Wilson, that was the actor that played Shonuff. Yeah, he played he also played Sweet Daddy Williams on Good Times.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, I'm mixing up guys. Yeah, Theodore Wilson, I threw that before I came in the room. Dude, boy walked in the room.
That is so funny. Took off his hand with a boomerang.
Julius Carey, it was shown up.
Okay.
And Julius Carey played on Briscoe County Jr.
Oh.
The Fox show from back in the day with, who's that, Bruce Campbell?
I think so, yeah.
I think Bruce Campbell, yeah. Yeah, it was Bruce Campbell and Julius Carey. And then, Theodore Wilson played Earl Sweet Daddy on Good Times. So, giving you people a lot of research this week.
That's right.
So, what do you mean, you people? That was on my short list, too. Like, Tropic Thunder, because it's such a great movie. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I think Black Dynamite's one of my favorite director commentary tracks, but the Tropic Thunder director commentary might be my favorite.
Well, you know, we don't do one-offs here on Life in Theater usually, Nate, and you're always welcome. So, you know, there's another movie you want to watch. Door's always open, man.
Hmm. Look, I'll keep that in mind. The hairpin. And then we see, like, the bond between Cream Corn and Black Dynamite. But yeah, the great thing about the Tropic Thunder commentary is that Robert Downey Jr. stays in character through the whole thing.
Really?
Which is amazing. Because there's a line in it where his character's like, I don't break character until I do the DVD commentary. And so he's playing the character like through the whole commentary. It's like, this is ridiculous. Cream Corn, no! So now we go from Kung Fu Island. Now Black Dynamite is taking out Secret Service members at the White House.
What the?
Because, of course, this whole plot goes back to the man. And who was the ultimate man, Andy, if not the President of the United States?
Oh, jeez.
Who would create such a diabolical plan as to collude with the Kung Fu Island and create malt liquor that reduces the size of black men's sexual organs, but the man?
I would guess, yeah. I can just imagine seeing this like in a theater for the first time. Like, what is happening?
Yes, like this thing is just ridiculous. And there we go, costume change. That is a sweet looking jacket. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm. Rhinestones, everything.
And this is like a scene that's obviously inspired by Jim Kelly. Like the walk and fight each guy one at a time.
You think these guys would be a little more coordinated in their attack.
Yeah. And we're about to meet the true big bad, the true top heel of the territory, Andy.
If it's Vince McMahon, I'd be very disappointed.
I mean, we're close. This guy kind of has some Vince McMahon tendencies.
Tricky Dick.
Like, Richard Nixon is the ultimate villain in this movie, and it's just, like, ridiculous and perfect at the same time. Like, who else could it be?
Not the first time Richard Nixon's been portrayed. In many movies. He was in, what was it, X-Men, Days of Future Past?
Yep. I like Days of Future Past.
I do, too.
The subsequent ones, like the Apocalypse and Phoenix. Mm.
No, I never saw it. Although that's what won me the summer movie wager. Dark Phoenix. I've worked on the History Channel before stuff, and I never knew Richard Nixon could work nunchucks.
We've all got hidden talents, Andy.
I tell you.
Like, the funny thing about Black Dynamite is that, like, the movie didn't make a lot of money at the box office, but it did, like I said, become kind of this, like, cult hit. And so there's always been talk of a sequel. And the latest I heard is Michael Jai White wants to do like an anthology almost, where he keeps like the same cast and crew, but it's not another 70s movie. Instead, they'll do like a Western.
Ah.
So it'll be like the same team that made Black Dynamite, but instead it'll be Ferrante Jones playing a cowboy. It's Nicole Sullivan. From Mad TV, among other things.
That's right.
As Richard Nixon's wife. The first lady. And the first lady just gets pimp slapped.
Slow motion into the plates there.
Yes.
Oh, Tricky Dick ain't happy with that. Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, we got the pistol used by John Wilkes Booth.
Because they left it loaded.
Yes.
The spirit of Abraham Lincoln comes back.
Yes, the spirit of Abraham Lincoln emancipates and proclamates. we got the callback.
That's right.
He's definitely giving off like Vince McMahon vibes here.
Yeah. Mention Watergate.
We got Tricky Dick pictures of
some kinky shit.
Yes, I believe in today's language, he'd be a sub.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the scene. What was it? In JFK with Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. That movie, JFK.
Yep.
And like the Secret Service are just letting this guy that assaulted the president and the first lady walk out unharmed.
Well, you don't mess with Black Dynamite.
And here, Black Dynamite with the, you know, because for all of the roughness, he's a good guy at heart, so he's got to do the right thing.
The right thing is smacking her in the head.
I'm sorry, I pimp slapped you into the china cabinet.
Mm-hmm. He has a code.
You shot, but you didn't hit me.
But you didn't connect.
I wonder if this is pre-impeachment or post-impeachment. Like, has Nixon already been impeached at this point of the timeline? And out of nowhere, we like, because the threat with Sally Richardson's character pretty much got dropped.
Yeah,
and now she's back to do the pose that's on the cover of the DVD.
Just show up at the end.
Yep. It's Michael Jai White, pistol in one hand, two women on both legs, nunchucks in the other hand.
It comes Mrs. Nixon.
And that's Black Dynamite, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God, that was so much fun, Nate.
Again, like, it's just like the I think the care is what makes this movie work for me, Andy. It's just like you could tell that Michael Jai White and the people that put this together have like they're making fun of blaxploitation, but they do it out of a sense of love, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, like they all grew up on it.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh come on, let's just have some fun. It's, and they also probably like, let's see, how ridiculous can we go with some of this stuff?
Yes, like this movie, again, to reiterate, started with Michael Jai White's character, his brother being killed, and it led us from the streets of L.A. to Roscoe's Chili and Donuts to Kung Fu Island to the White House. Like, that's the journey we went on, people.
No, in there.
Hey, Ruth Carter, costume designer.
There was the pimp council in there, and
yes, the pimp council,
the brothel and orphanage. Yeah, lots of lots of fun locations and set pieces.
Yeah, so Black Dynamite and the cartoon. I want to say it got two seasons on Adult Swim, and it's not the greatest cartoon ever, but it is pretty. Like, it's funny, it's clever. There's some good gags in it because the premise is Black Dynamite is going through like history, and so like he has run-ins with people like Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby and OJ and like there's a Michael Jackson episode where Michael turns out to be an alien. And so yeah, like it's clever. So I don't know if the episodes are still up on the Adult Swim website or you got to go to YouTube, but if you got some time, check out the Black Dynamite cartoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it ran from 2011 to 2015 for 20 episodes. So, looks like fun.
Miguel Nunez is more bitches.
More bitches.
John Sally is Kotex, which...
He was Militant One.
Yes.
That's like being like Conquistador number one, I guess.
Yeah, like is he Edge? Is he Christian? I think my favorite was Militant 2, the Militant that kept reading his cues always. Sarcastically, I'm in charge.
As the fiendish Dr. Wu. James McManus as Richard Nixon. All right, great pick, mate. Thank you for introducing me and the listeners to Black Dynamite.
Yes, you know, it's my pleasure. Again, like, this is a movie that I wouldn't even aware of when it came out in 2009, but like just seeing the attention to detail, it's really like almost a DIY film. Like Michael Jai White and Byron Menz put it together, and like you could tell like they called in a bunch of favors from friends and people they knew, and like it's not a big Hollywood blockbuster, but it's a movie made with love and some smarts to it, and that like the exposition of the scene where they figure out the plot is never not going to be funny to me. Just that we go through all of this to figure out that Anaconda malt liquor gives you a little Richard.
that was
Brian McKnight is a pimp. Brian McKnight. just a lot of people that you could tell were friends with Michael Jai White. They're like, yeah, we'll give you an afternoon so you can film this with us.
That's right.
That's what friends are for. Five movie. I'll just you and Steve Willey and Jennifer Smith, and you can dress up as pimps for an hour.
I gotta see Steve Willey as a pimp.
We'll make a documentary or a biography. A biograph about the life of Charles Wright, and I'll play the Godfather. Be Ho Train, the story of Charles Wright.
From Godfather to Good Father and back again.
Yes. You make it like a mockumentary. Just, you know, all those years I asked people to get on the Ho Train, I never thought one day the ride would be over. Just play like a down pitched version of the Godfather theme in the background.
instead of like, it'd be like, bow,
bow, just bow, yes, bow. It's dramatic. Steve Willey, like, yeah, you know, I took a ride on the Ho Train once, and it was a memorable time. yes, that could be fun. Maybe that's something we'll do WrestleMania weekend if the people support the Kings of Sport Patreon.
That's right. Get Nate and Steve and Jenny and everybody out to LA to do some fun stuff.
Yes, there's a lot of fun to be had.
Oh yeah, there is. Trust me, when Placement Nation gets together and Kings of Sport, it's gonna be memorable.
And that's the thing, one of the best things about that week is gonna be like not only Place to Be Nation, not only Marcus and I, but like post wrestling will be there, and Andrew Thompson and Rich Fan from PW Torch, and there'll be a bunch of people, like everybody you can pretty much think of that talks about wrestling and covers it and does reaction shows. Like, they'll be in LA, and so yeah, the opportunity for crossovers is plentiful. And so yeah, like as Andy's word of the night, like there'll be multiples of opportunities for some fun stuff and shenanigans in LA. So hopefully we can get some people supporting the Patreon to put a little more expendable change in our pocket so that we can have some more fun out in LA. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go to Roscoe's. Maybe that'll be one thing we do. We'll go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and take the Place to Be Nation family.
There you go. Do a little live podcast there.
Live podcast from Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. And like, how did you know that donut was coming to kill Scott Criscola? The donuts don't wear loafers.
That's so funny.
Yes, go visit blackdynamite.com if it's still a workable website 12 years later.
Gotta pay that, you know, that yearly rent on that site. All right. So, yes, that was a lot of fun, Nate. Like I said, thank you very much for introducing me. So by the time this comes up, what have you got coming up on all of your various shows?
Oh, there's a lot going on. Again, like not to hate this episode too much, but Kings of Sport is, at this point in time, we're a biweekly show, just due to my work schedule as well as Marcus's work schedule, and that he is a new father, mm-hmm. and his young, if you will, young son, Prince, is at the time of this recording, I believe he'll be 5 months old, maybe 6 months old. So like, time is just flying. So wow. You know, Marcus doesn't have all the time available to him that he used to have. So we're a biweekly show now, but you can also, like I said at the top, you can get all of our special editions of shows, the audio shows, the video shows, movie reviews, random topics. Like, I think we will probably do like a WrestleMania show preview coming up here pretty soon. And you can get that at the Patreon, patreon.com/Kings of Sport. You can check out the Rocky Maivia picture show, which I do with the good people over at Post Wrestling. That's a monthly show. So check that out at postwrestling.com. The main event here on Place to Be Nation with over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling side of things with Scott Criscola and the conscience of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willie. And the only other regular show I'm doing at this time, because I think that's enough for one person. My goal is to stay one podcast behind John Pollock, but one podcast ahead of Jennifer Smith. So, I got to stay one ahead of Jenny, but I don't want to do as many as John Pollock. So I'm like right in that sweet spot. But the other show that I'm doing right now on a regular basis is the Black Lightning podcast over on the DC TV podcast network, which is a review show on the Black Lightning show on CW. So they just came back from their break after the crossover. And so, yeah, things are getting pretty interesting. We've got, some integration going on. It's Earth Prime. Everybody's on the same planet. We're going to Markovia. So who knows who we'll see over there. Wayne Brady's joining the show this week, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot going on CW. If you're into the superhero stuff. So you can check that out at DC TV Podcast. And if you just want to see me on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter.
All right. Awesome. For me, let's see. We have Looking Forward, Looking Back, the fall winter movie wrap-up just went up. The Looking Forward, Looking Back, Scott Pilgrim versus the World Live Watch. That should be coming very soon. Year in Pop.
Speaking of superheroes, like, there's a lot of superheroes in that movie.
Yes, there is. There's
Chris Evans, who is Johnny Storm and Captain America. Mm-hmm. You've got your man Brandon Routh, who was Superman.
And Adam, right?
Adam on Legends of Tomorrow. And you've got the girl that plays Ramona. She was in Birds of Prey.
Yes. Well, you're also forgetting a big one. Yeah, Brie Larson, isn't it?
Yes. We got Captain Marvel. Yep. So, so who said Endgame was the most ambitious crossover ever? No, sir. It was Scott Pilgrim.
Hey, you never know. Michael Cera could join the MCU one day. God help us all.
If Jesse Eisenberg can be Lex Luthor, then Michael Cera can be somebody in a superhero movie.
So
just a reluctant, laid back supervillain.
You could be Captain Cold or something like that.
Just Captain, yeah.
You're gonna move a lot.
You're gonna die now, okay? If that's all right with you.
It's okay. Okay, can I freeze you now? All right, cool. All right, so we got Year in Pop, 1980, with one of your co-hosts, Scott Criscola, and Mr. D'Amato, the Doctor. Also on the wrestling feed, I have some I'm part of Body Pressure Luck. Nate, you think you'd throw your hat in the ring one day for that fine game show?
Only if I can get the answers ahead of time, quiz show style. We got to rig this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, of course, it goes without saying. But now we have quite the trio. Actually, the next episode is going to be Scott Criscola, who is one of our contestants, facing up against, I believe it is Ryan Everett, our three-time defending champion, and a new voice. I think the guy's name is Rob Kindler. Check that out.
I'll have to listen to see how Scott does, and if he embarrasses the main event, I'll have to step in to uphold our honor.
Damn you, Ryan! Also, a couple of new shows coming to the wrestling feed with myself. Nate, you were actually part of what was kind of, I guess you want to say, the spring training, the beta test of the Great Debate wrestling version. I appeared a couple of times on Main Event, so I'm actually bringing that on its own. So check that out coming soon. Also, a brand new series called The Evolution Of. So hope you guys check them out on the wrestling feed. But for now, I want to say thank you to the Godfather, Nate Milton, for coming in and watching Black Dynamite with me.
Hey, it was a pleasure, Andy. I had some fun, brother. I'm glad that you got to experience this for the first time. And the listeners, I hope you guys and girls enjoyed the movie as well. So, yeah, let's all work together. And let's fight smack in these orphanages out here.
All right. Yes, fight the power or fight the man, whatever you want to say. So, thank you once again.
And read the ingredient label on your malt liquor bottle, for God's sake.
Yes. You don't want a Little Richard. So.
It's woo!
All right. For the Godfather.
Johnny B. Badd should have been in this movie. Mark Merrill, where was he?
I don't know. He's a bad man. We tried to get him, but then we got PN News instead.
We mentioned PN News on a recent edition of the main event. Like, because we were talking about the WCW greatest list, you know, with the matches, and we're like, how many PN News matches? What's the over-under on PN News matches that'll make the list?
Didn't they have a feud over who the true Rat Master of WCW was?
Right? I believe so.
I remember watching that stuff, and I'm like, this guy's Little Richard. How is he a Rat Master?
Like, that's right up there with the feud between Sergeant Craig Pittman and Cobra over Cobra going AWOL, and instead of going to the military court system, we're going to settle this in a wrestling ring because of WCW logic.
WCW logic. I love it. I'm PN News, and I'm on the attack. Let the sucker in, I'll put him on his back. Yo, baby. Yeah, see, I remember the things that stick in your brain, man.
Fun fact, PN News, because Steve Willie looked it up. PN News was wrestling as recently as 2016, which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, jeez. Why? Why? Who asked for this, and why did they agree to it?
who shows up and goes, oh, man, I hope PR News does, like, you know, a surprise appearance.
There's one fan, one guy that's been waiting for PR News to show up.
And he was sick that night. Bam!
Where's PR News' Royal Rumble appearance?
That's true. Oh, my God. Dude, talk about a pop. Oof. Like, edges look like nothing. All right, so for The Godfather, Nathan Nolan, I am Andy Epps. Thank you for joining us on Laughing Theater. We'll see you on the next show. But for now, the theater is closed. See you later.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay. Oh God.